It's $100 on top of that. Hey, I think we're ready to start. Everything is up. All my tech is running. A few dropped frames, but I think we're ready to go. Should we come to order? Yay! Welcome, 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 one and all. You are the San Carlos Computer Club, and I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and I'm here to help you take over the world with your tech knowledge.
I don't want it.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll take naps beforehand. But welcome, welcome. I have come. Yes, Mike, did you already have a comment?
Nothing until you just said that.
Okay, what do you got?
I was watching High Maintenance last night. Anybody know the show High Maintenance?
No.
It's about a guy on a bicycle who delivers drugs around New York City.
Oh, that's right.
And it's a great, great show. But anyway, last night he was forced to take it to Bitcoin. And he wouldn't take it the first time. Then he went to the second place that it was like a $200 sale. They said, you got to take Bitcoin. He was like, well, I guess I'm taking Bitcoin now.
what channel is it on?
HBO.
Okay.
It's in season two. Start at the beginning. You will laugh. You will laugh. Okay.
What's it called?
High Maintenance. It's about a
lovable character. He's not always in it. A lot of times he's not in it, but...
But it's kind of, it's like the marijuana scene in New York, and you're running around on a bicycle.
Sales, you see slices of New York City.
Yeah.
But it's far beyond anything you would imagine.
Well, and on that note, let's see, what do we got? I have, like always, brought some of my own topics, but I'm very interested in questions, comments, and topics you guys might have. And I don't see any hands or...
Right here.
Okay. All right. I want Linda to go in depth on some of the stuff that she's brought in. So why don't we start with your question?
I have a quick question. Has anybody tried to hook up a Bluetooth transmitter to a TV?
A transmitter to a TV.
Bluetooth transmitter, that's what they're calling it.
So are you trying to send it to the TV?
No, I'm trying to... put TV output to a Bluetooth portable speaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Has anybody had good luck with it? Or
yeah, I have.
Do you have a smart TV?
The TV has to support Bluetooth to begin with.
Yeah.
But if it supports Bluetooth, then it's as easy as hooking your phone to a Bluetooth speaker.
What I read said that none of the TVs support Bluetooth. Is that not true?
That's not true. Yeah. But it is still easy to buy a smart TV that doesn't have Bluetooth.
Yes. That's what I have.
So it would be a feature check on the box of...
But it says I can plug a transmitter into an optical output or something and get the Bluetooth, and make it transmit Bluetooth. That's what I'm...
Well, if you have
so you're looking for a device that would connect to a TV that would turn the audio into Bluetooth so you could use it on a speaker.
And I found one online. I was hoping somebody else had tried it before I tried. There is a YouTube demonstration of how it's working, so somebody else has done it.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, I can envision the product. I bet I could Amazon search it because I can envision the product.
You better try Stern and Wamus if you're looking for it.
Well, I can order it, but I just didn't. You know, there are several different kinds, and I thought, well, maybe if somebody would use a particular one, I'd get some input. That's
No one's used anything like that.
Is it for TV ears? No, it's so you don't have to use a headphone, so you can use a portable Bluetooth speaker, like on the back of your chair.
I recommend it.
Yeah, which is a great idea. I know that's been a savior for my mom. My folks like to watch TV and in bed, and they don't like to have it too loud. Mom's having trouble hearing stuff, and so we hooked up a Bluetooth speaker so that she could sit it right there between the two of them.
It works on a Fire Stick.
Yeah.
It works on a Fire Stick fine, but with just regular TV output, you have to have something else.
Yeah, it sounds like your TV doesn't support Bluetooth, and so you have to come up with a way to transmit it.
I've got one. I'll just order it then.
I heard Linda mention TV ears, and if you've got Bluetooth on your TV or you're using a Fire Stick like you mentioned, there's no reason that your headsets can't use Bluetooth headsets to listen to your TV set. You don't actually need TV ears to do that.
So you go a Fire Stick by Bluetooth to a portable speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I imagine the product exists. I can totally imagine how it would work.
Yeah. There's several.
You know what my advice would be is use Amazon. Use the Amazon reviews to determine which one you buy. But use Amazon specifically so that you can just send back any junk that's not working. Because they're really good about it. Nowadays, when you buy electronics from Amazon, right on your order, it shows you the date that you can return them without any questions.
Does that go for Mexico, too?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing. If you're down here dealing with this, I would start at Amazon Mexico.
Well, I'll just have it sent up and have it brought down.
Well, if you find what you need in Amazon Mexico, then you can deal with it all right here. So you wouldn't have to figure out how to get it back to the States. You could just send it back DHL here. And if any of you are having trouble doing stuff like that, I'd be happy to do it through my office because we do that kind of stuff all the time. For me personally, I'm just ordering from Amazon, sending stuff back that doesn't work. It happens all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you do hook up your Fire Stick to the Bluetooth, does that mean you have to unplug your audio optical? Do you have to unplug that from anything else you might have in hooked up to?
Well,
I just picked it up.
That's an interesting question because I think it really can only be answered by knowing your TV and your setup.
Experimenting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like my TV allowed me to have multiple audio hookups, but when I switch over to Bluetooth, none of those others, and I'm saying this, I'm realizing, no, I hooked up my Amazon Echo as a Bluetooth speaker to my Samsung TV, and I could use it as a complementary set of speakers. I remember dealing with it. I mean, I went away from that idea, but I remember dealing with it because they were out of sync and so I was looking at the syncing settings so that you could get the audio and the Bluetooth that's sitting over here to match the audio that's coming out of the TV set.
Oh, that's a good trick.
Yeah.
My wife reads lips, and she's always complaining about that.
Yeah.
Because the lips don't sync with the sound.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you start dealing with digital sound, that's a real issue, is trying to get that synchronizing. And gamers deal with that all the time, trying to get the audio and the quality video coming out of the same machine at the same time. Well, very interesting topic. I'll be interested in seeing what products you come up with. You know, what it reminds me of is that they, for a long time, they've sold Bluetooth cassettes that you could stick in an old stereo so that you could create Bluetooth for your car. And I got one of those FM transmitters just recently for my car, which I would praise if I had the name brand. I would mention it right now because I'm so happy with it. It cost me about $30, plugs into the cigarette lighter, and it's got the analog. I could plug a cable into my phone and listen to the music off my phone, but it supports Bluetooth. And so I Bluetooth to it, and then it transmits it through FM to my car radio. And the quality is exceptional, at least here in San Carlos. I've been dealing with these FM transmitters for years because I never upgrade my stereo. And I've had just horrible feedback and static coming across the radio, and I just tolerate it because I want to listen to what's on my phone. And this new one that I bought, it is crisp and clear like I am the FM broadcaster in Wyman's. I'm just very happy with the results. I'll bring you the name of it if that's something you guys are interested in.
Yes.
But I couldn't praise it more. It's been a great product. Probably the only thing that I don't appreciate about it is and it's got controls on it too. So you Bluetooth your phone. It's got a charger built into it, so you can plug your phone into charge. But then you don't have to look at your phone again. It's got volume controls right on it, analog controls, so you can turn it up or down right there next to you where the cigarette lighter is. And it's got skip forward and back, skip through tracks right there on the device. So the phone can just be sitting anywhere. It could be sitting in the glove compartment, and I'm able to have that kind of control over it like you would a radio. There was one other point I was going to make with it, but I think that just evaded me. But anyway, I've been really happy with it. I think it's a great product. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The one thing that I haven't been pleased with is it has an LCD display. And the display has plenty of information on it. Let you know what channel you're on the FM and what volume you're at, things of that nature. I've learned I don't need the display at all. And the display is very difficult to see in sunlight. And so that's my biggest complaint. When I first got it, I'm like, oh, I'm sending this back. I can't even read what it says. But ironically, I plugged it in. It immediately found it was immediately on the channel I needed it to be on. But it's so easy to change channels. It wouldn't have been hard to find the channel without looking at the screen. I just thought it was going to be hard, but it didn't matter. The screen didn't matter at all in the end. And the quality is totally worth it, regardless of the screen. The quality and the controls are totally worth it. And on that note, I'm done with Bluetooth stuff. It just gave me a thought. And I want us all to listen to what Linda's got here, because this looks pretty cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to bring this up to me?
So, well, I thought it's better than sitting down there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, as you all know, I have this little TV business. And I've had people with problems here because if you're too far away from the router, you've got to get it some kind of extender. Well, in the past, extenders are pretty expensive. They've been expensive. And they are now coming way down in price. And so I had gotten these little plugs from Kasa, K-A-S-A. And you control them with your phone, the app, Kasa app. Well, I happen to be on the Kasa site, and I see this, and it's by TP-Link. I see this Wi-Fi extender, and they have two. They have a 750 and a 12. Well, I figure for the $2, $3, you're going to buy the 1200 anyway. So it looks like this. This is the antenna. It took me 2 minutes to set this thing up. I went to the phone, to the app. I went to add a device. The only negative I found, it has to be set up with your Telmex. It can't be set up like with another extender.
Really?
Right. And it says right on there. So I took it and all I did was plug it into the strip right by my Telmex router, put add a device. The thing picked up. It wasn't even 2 minutes I had the thing on. Took it in the other room, put it on to my TV box in my bedroom because that's far away, and it worked perfect. Wow. So this is hopefully going to solve my issue of somebody up in the Caracol where the router is too far away from where the TV is going to be, where the TV is. So that's it. And then you can plug your item right in here, and you can also control on and off times with it, just like all their little smart plugs.
What do you plug into that?
Whatever you'd like to turn off or on.
Yeah, it also has a
Ethernet port.
An Ethernet port, and it comes with a short, about this long of an Ethernet cable, which is perfect because the little TV boxes do a lot better when you plug them in than wireless. They don't get as much buffering when you plug them in. So
Well, and they don't suffer from Wi-Fi interference when you plug them in.
Right.
I mean, this might suffer from Wi-Fi interference, but you've eliminated that as being a potential problem with the TV box. By plugging it in, the TV box is not suffering from Wi-Fi interference. What you plugged it into might be.
Right. Yeah. The other thing, I plugged it into a strip, so it took up quite a bit of space on the strip, but I plugged it into the strip, so surge protection. Liz, I've had a couple people in the last week. I can't tell you how that you should have surge protectors. And I'm not talking about the little strips. I'm talking about stuff that has a lot of joules in it. It's going to protect you when you take that jolt. Because that little storm we had, last week,
yeah.
It knocked the whole program out of the TV box and everything. I had to go reprogram it all.
That's not because it lost power. That's because it got jolted and the box didn't know how to. It scrambled its settings inside.
Power on Monday last week.
So as I said, it took me about 2 minutes to set this thing up. I had it in the strip. Done.
This is awesome. Can I touch it?
Yeah.
This is very cool.
It's got a reset on it. Tells you if your lights. It's got 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. Gigabytes or hertz.
What was the price?
Wait, about the only thing I think they could do different is they could rotate this. They could make this plug rotatable so that you could accommodate it better.
Well, but, I put it in the strip.
Yeah.
Around
here, I would totally put it in the surge protector, like Linda's saying. That makes the most sense.
It was $32.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I bought this one at Newegg.
But you couldn't get it to work with the Orbi.
No, this is it for someone else's house, not
mine. Okay, all right. You haven't tried it yet.
The instructions say the main router.
I know, but you didn't try it.
Oh, no, I didn't try it. No, I didn't try it. But
we'll follow this up. I actually just had a Google Wi-Fi experience I want to share, and it's absolutely addressing that issue.
Well, I'm still having a problem with the Orbi.
Telmex and Orbi?
Uh-huh.
That's a beautiful profile like that, too.
Well, I bought this one on Newegg.
Newegg.
I'm going to share this with you because I just found something interesting that you need to pay attention to when you're buying stuff. But I bought this on Newegg because it's no freight, no tax. I hate paying almost 9% tax in Arizona when I don't live in Arizona. And when you're buying on Amazon, you're paying tax in most places. And so I look on Amazon, and then I go to different places that I'm not paying any freight or tax on.
Can you spell that Newegg?
eBay has a lot of eBay, huh?
Can you spell Newegg?
It's Newegg.
It's Newegg.
And it's shipped out of California.
Juego Nuevo.
So the stuff comes in like 2-3 days.
And you said Telmex, so it's good in the United States too.
What?
No, what Linda was referring to is she connected it directly to the Telmex router.
I know.
Instead of a different router, instead of a
except, but it does work.
The instructions state it works in the United States, of course.
Yeah.
Came from the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Casa is hooked up with the smart plugs.
Casa is the name.
KASA, and then all you do is you put your program on your phone, and you can control all these little plugs. Like I bought one of the plugs for one of my lamps. All you do is put on. It says dusk to dawn. Bingo, it's gone. It just goes on dusk to dawn when you're away. You can also look when you're away to make sure things are working right. Everything's controlled now. That's why it's really important when you go buy a new phone that you're getting the most memory in them. If you're buying a phone and you're buying it strictly for an inexpensive price, you're not going to get the memory. You're not going to get Android 7 and above. You've got to really pay attention to all the things in the phone that you're buying. You shouldn't be buying for price because you're not going to get the options and you're going to run out of memory because everything now is going to be controlled by your telephone.
You know, Linda, as you're speaking about this, I'm remembering that Richard, the guy that's helped me with the cameras before, has just recently gotten into an Android phone at Coppel that has 1 gig of memory and has 8 gigs of storage, and it's running Android Go 8.01.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at this phone, and it is getting great performance. This Android Go, if you guys haven't heard of it, is Google's version of an operating system specifically for these low-end phones. And so if there is budget phones out there, if all you need is a phone that's going to take a couple of pictures, you're not trying to use it as your second computer, but you actually just need a phone, it's been very impressive to look at. That $70, one of the out of everything, performance, memory, because it's got SD cards. I mean, you can put micro SD card in it. I think it's dual. I think you can put dual in it as far as SIMs, one or the other, SD card or a SIM. But the one thing at $70 that continues to catch my eye is the screen is horrible to look at in the sunlight. The performance isn't bothering me at all. We're using it to stream YouTube video. right? Where, I mean, not watch it, but to actually stream to YouTube. He's using it for his own project, and he wants to use these cheap phones to capture live video and stream it to YouTube. Uh-huh. And it's been, the performance is not what I would complain about with this phone. I'd complain about taking it out into direct sunlight and not being able to read the screen. It's the only real complaint I have with the phone.
Well, I bought the Poco phone.
Poco.
Yeah, you have the Huawei.
I have the Huawei. I have the Honor.
Poco Phone F1. This was rated the number one phone for this last year. This has 8 gigabytes, 128 megabytes of memory. Is that right?
No, I'm thinking it probably has 8 to 16 gigabytes of storage. And then what's the RAM? If you have a 128 gigabyte card in it, like a micro SD card.
It's in the phone. Right.
So are you saying it really has 8 gigs?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can also, it's a dual SIM, or in the second SIM you can put the memory card. I have a memory card in the second.
Yeah.
This was $320. But it's got,
Yeah.
The only negative I find is the sun thing.
The being able to
when
see it in the sunlight.
Really good. I've got it turned way up. But as far as the phone everywhere else, it's a great phone to me. I wasn't going to go and pay $1,000 for another telephone. I just think it's outrageous. And I feel like if it lasts you 3 years, you got your money's worth out of it.
So that's P-O-C-O,
Poco? Poco, P-O-C-O. Poco Phone F1. And it's from Xiaomi.
Xiaomi.
X-O-A-X-O.
I don't remember how to spell it.
It starts with an X. If you put Poco Phone F1,
it goes there.
And I bought it on eBay. And because they aren't really selling it in the States in any of the stores. They're still selling it online.
How much memory in that phone?
So Linda was just saying it came with 128 gigabytes of storage, and then it's got 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
So it's a full-fledged computer.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. This laptop in front of you has 12 gigs of RAM, and this has 8 gigs of RAM. And if you guys were paying attention to Samsung's announcement and they showed off the folding phone, that has 12 gigabytes of RAM in it with a terabyte option of storage.
This has Android 10.2 in it?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have 10 yet.
Well, then it's 9.1.
It's got to be 9.1.
It's the Poco number is 10.2.
Okay, yeah.
It is 9. It's 9 on here.
So that's the most recent Android operating system available.
Oh, I'm sorry. I bought the 6 gigabytes of RAM, and the internal storage is 128.
Yeah, that's so 6 gigs of RAM. That's still very impressive. Now, I've got an Honor 6X, which is a Huawei phone. I bought it 2 years ago. It has 3 gigs of RAM. Uh-huh. And it came with 32 gigabytes of storage. Just for comparison, you have 6, I have 3. You have 128, I have 32.
Yeah.
I've put a card in it. The card is a 256 gigabyte card, and that's where I store all my... And I've been very happy with it. It gets great performance. In fact, I was a little disappointed to put it next to Richard's $70 phone. Because for the things we were testing, I was getting the same performance out of his phone that I was getting out of my phone, which made it very difficult to... his was half the cost of my... I paid $150 for my phone.
What's your CPU? This is an Octa-Core Max 2.8 gigahertz. So this is just as fast as some people's laptops.
Yeah, Octa-Core. This is a dual-core laptop. These RISC processors have gone up to...
How are the batteries holding?
Oh, my God. This is almost 24 hours.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Number two, did you see the 1 terabyte card last night?
I was going to mention it today.
And number three, these phones are all going to come with Bitcoin wallets in them.
That's it right there.
There you go.
I'm in.
It's really going to be important to try and learn this. And I finally found this week a Bitcoin wallet in Mexico where the guy would, I could buy the coins and send them out. Then I got an email last night from this BitGo that I had tried to get on with, and they took my money the first time, and then the second time they wanted all this ID and everything. Mm-hmm. So last night I emailed him yesterday, and I told him I wanted them to get rid of all my information. I mean, I have given them every piece of ID, and they didn't take any of it. And he goes, well, it's Mexican, so you're going to either have to go to private people. If you're just looking to pay, buy the Bitcoins, pay them back out instantly. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to invest in them. Then you're going to have to find these different... So I found this coin.
Can't you just give the money to OXXO and have them pay it to their wallet?
That's the problem. These other guys, they want all this ID from you. And it was supposed to be anonymous. Yeah. So I wrote to the people from my TV box, and they gave me another one called Local Coins. They have the wallet there, but all I was doing is buying from a guy.
You know what, Linda? I'm going to let me put you in touch with our friend Theo. He's been here a couple of times. He's the one that's done all the Bitcoin stuff in New York, and I bet he has a quick one-word solution to this.
A quick thing. This Local Coins. Mm-hmm. I found a guy in Mexico City. He's got the coins. He's got a BBVA Bank Homer account. I did was put the money in his account. In 2 minutes, I had the coins. So
are they in your BitGo wallet?
No, I'm not using BitGo. I'm using this Local Coins, and they have the coin wallet, but they hold it for you. But I'm not doing it for investing. I'm doing it to pay.
Right.
So there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Pay, you have to have your wallets.
I'm just
private, so that you get a lot of security off of it.
It must be something that your TV service providers are insisting is that it comes from you instead of coming from OXXO.
No, OXXO wasn't the point.
What I'm saying is...
paying BitGo with OXXO.
I understand.
And then the BitGo was sending it out.
Right. But OXXO could just send it out.
No. You have to send it to the...
That's what your TV provider is requiring you to do.
No, not my TV provider. That's how you buy the coin. You go to OXXO and pay, and the coin and the money gets transferred to the coin place.
Okay, and the point I'm making is that transfer happens because they are sending money, they're sending value to a Bitcoin address.
Correct.
And in your case, it's your Bitcoin address provided by BitGo's application.
Right, and then when it gets into your wallet, then you send it out to the person you want to send it to.
But technically, they could send it right to the wallet of your television provider.
No.
Yeah, they could, technically. Because they're doing exactly the same thing when they send it to you. They could send it to them. I'm not sure
but
why.
But so you're buying the coins and like putting it in your own wallet.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now what I found is they sent me this website to go to called Local Coins or whatever it is. And now all I had to do was go there, pay the guy with the coins. There's all kinds of people listed with the coins. Then you just pay them. They tell you what they'll take. Like this guy only takes Bank Homer. So it worked out perfect. He gave me a bank account to send the money to. I transferred it from my checking account to his wallet. Huh?
How are they making?
Well, they list what the coins are for sale for.
Oh, okay.
On the web page. Like they'll have somebody's name.
So they're getting them cheaper and selling them at higher rates.
Well, it's fluctuating. Right now it's
like
in the
pieces of dollars at the bank.
Yeah.
It fluctuates. So you look down and find a guy. Some people are charging 80 something. Some people, this guy was charging 74. But now I noticed last night that a lot of them had dropped their prices down. So, I mean, Bitcoin's fluctuating but sort of staying in the same price range right now. 3,000.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it changes all the time.
So.
Well, Linda, thank you for all that information. That is awesome. There's a lot to unpack there.
How much is this phone with 12 gigabytes storage?
Oh, my God. It's $1,980 starting.
So this is $325.
In fact, as we're talking about $200, $300 phones, it's like a cartel has come together to make sure that Apple's premium price doesn't look all that expensive. In the last 2 weeks, a number of phones have been announced that push that minimal flagship price to $1,000. That's the cheap price. Because we have a number of phones that have come out, that have been announced now, that are going to sell up at $2,000 and around that price.
You mean my $60 track phone won't work anymore?
I think it'll work just fine. I think that the best thing we could do is ignore that entire market and continue to buy $200 phones from China.
Make them work the best they can. Cost less than
$200. Yeah, because what's going to happen, what's happened with Apple really did us a disservice by putting out a phone, did themselves a disservice by putting out a phone at over $1,000, because they immediately had to come up with all these discount breaks so people would buy it. And so they've had all kinds of, do not, if you are in the market for one of these new iPhones, do not buy it directly from the Apple store without knowing what discounts are going on, and you should ask the Apple store if they know of any discounts going on. One of the staples is the trade-in discount. I think you can bring in just about any phone and get $100 off your new iPhone just because you're giving up an old phone for a new phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's your carrier with that?
Your old phone you could trade in.
It's brand new. I never used it.
Oh, yeah, you could trade in. Yeah, basically you trade in any phone.
No Verizon.
There's probably some stipulations. I haven't read the stipulations of what they'll take, but they seem to be good for $100 credit.
How do they transfer all the information from one phone to another? Do they do it
anyway? You know, that's a great question, because I have held Apple responsible for that in the sales process. It's like, okay, well, what about my old phone? I want to get all this over to my new phone. And one of their sales reps would be like, well, we can take care of that for you. And so if you were getting into Apple, Samsung may do that. If you go into a Samsung, like a Best Buy area, you might be able to get their Geek Squad to do something like that for you.
Otherwise, how do you do it by yourself?
Well, it's complicated. It is possible. I just had an experience where I had to transfer information from an S5 to an S10, or an S9. And the S9 was very impressive in that it had software, it had a capability ready, and it came with a dongle that allows you to plug your phone's, your old phone into the new phone. But then it didn't work, because so much of that working is dependent on your original phone supporting some certain system requirements. And so even though they've created a platform that's very easy to use to move information from an old phone to a new phone, the old phone has to provide all those capabilities for it to work correctly. In my experience, I actually had a really weird experience with this phone. I couldn't get it to talk to a computer. I couldn't use the cable to get at it like a hard drive. I couldn't get it to sync with the Google services, which it had been in up to 2016, but it hadn't synced for... And what the customer really cared about was pictures and contacts. The contacts should have already been up in the cloud, because that's how he had originally been using it. But somewhere 3 years ago, it stopped making that connection. And I couldn't force it to make... I knew I could fix all these problems if I just formatted the phone and set it up again. It would work just fine. But there would be no saving any of that information. And so I had the phone for a couple of days trying to figure out how it... And Samsung has a really nice utility that you can install in both phones, and you can transfer it wirelessly to the other phone. Couldn't install the utility in the phone. I couldn't install anything from the Google Play Store. What I ended up doing was really old school. It worked very successfully. It just was time-consuming. I was able to use Bluetooth to transfer all the contacts from one phone to the other, and all the documents and all the pictures that were stored in the internal storage. I was able to send all of that with Bluetooth, which is a very old school way of doing things. It never even occurred to me to try it. Bluetooth seldom works the way you were hoping when it comes to transferring stuff. I've had experiences where I selected all the contacts and transferred it to a new phone using Bluetooth, and all the contacts fell under one contact. And so you'd open up this one contact that was unnamed, and you'd find everyone's phone number in the note field. Those are the kinds of Bluetooth problems you have. You go to transfer a file from one phone, and you can't find the other phone, or you can't connect to the other phone, or it's waiting for acknowledgement, and it's not saying anything on the other phone asking for acknowledgement. Those are traditional Bluetooth transfer problems. So I was really happy when it actually worked, because that's the only way I was able to get the data from one phone to the other. If you're in the iWorld, this is a very easy thing to do. Because all their phones are based on the same operating system, it's very simple to take all your contents from your old iPhone and put them in your new iPhone.
You want to go from an iPhone to a Samsung, then you're screwed.
If you're going to a brand new Samsung, there's a lot of hope for it, because they do have a Samsung app for doing specifically this, and they've got it on iPhone specifically to make it easy for you to transfer it from iPhone phone to their Samsung phone.
Well, they want to do that because they want you to have phones.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it flexible.
Yeah, but what they made clear with their announcement this last week is they want you to pay the same or more than what you're paying at Apple right now. So you're not switching to Samsung to save money.
Is Samsung the question?
I'm sorry?
A Samsung question?
Is Samsung the question?
I have one.
Oh, you have a Samsung? Yeah. I think that it's great equipment. I don't have any problem with the Samsungs, except for they're going up into those echelons of price that compete for that premium customer.
I've been trying to figure out how to clear voicemail. I go on the internet and Google, and I get the manual for the Samsung. Yeah. And while I'm on the internet, it goes up and down. You can roll through it. So I download that into my computer, bring up the PDF, and it goes sideways. I can't roll it. I can't go from page to page. I can go page to page, but I can't go from page 1 to 300, you know.
Oh, you got to go through every page.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
It's unbelievable that it switches from going up and down this way to going this way.
To landscape, from portrait to landscape.
Oh, no, it's landscape, both are landscape. But
okay.
It's the way that you move from page to page.
And what is it that you're bringing up?
When you're on the internet, over on the side over here, you know, and you can move up and down. And
yeah, the scroll bar.
Scroll bar.
Yeah.
Okay. When you download it into the computer, it there's no scroll bar. It goes sideways.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your PDF reader.
Are you trying to on Gmail?
What Paul just said would make sense. The PDF reader that you're using.
Manual, you
know? Yeah. But it does sound like features of whatever PDF reader that you're using.
Well, I've tried all my PDF readers and it does the same thing.
It does the same thing. So it must be part of the document. It must be... Yeah. The instructions of the document.
And they're poor to start with, but
if you were bringing it up in Microsoft Edge, for example, you'd expect a bar to be along the top, and then you'd be able to at the very least change pages and do a search if you're searching for something.
For example, you can go to the index,
yes,
click on a page, and it'll go to that page. But then how do you? You know,
that sounds like it's a document that wasn't formatted to be very user-friendly.
Does the search engine have a different result?
Well, it's not the search. The doc. It sounds like he's got the genuine PDF manual for his Samsung phone. And it just hasn't been... PDFs are complicated, smart documents. And it sounds like it just wasn't formatted to be very user-friendly. Because it could be. It could be very, I mean, there could be a table of contents that's all hypertext, and you could click on each chapter, and all that stuff exists. It just sounds like they didn't put forth the effort to make it very easy.
It would be the same on whatever one site you went on, pull it up. The document doesn't change.
Yeah, because it's a genuine document. Yeah, no, unfortunately, that's what it sounds like. It just sounds like they did a poor presentation of it. Did you have more to add?
No, the only thing what I was trying to do in the first place, and you know, I call other people's phones and they say their voicemail is full.
Right.
And my voicemail is full, but I click on my voicemail, there's nothing on it.
Uh-huh. So I haven't seen your voicemail. Isn't it stored in your service, not in your phone?
That's where I'm on research today. I'm going into Verizon and see if I can find it there.
It's supposed to be with Verizon.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever set your voicemail up?
I think that's the issue, too. I never set it up.
Oh, you haven't set it up.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody I'm calling, that their voicemail is full. They haven't set it up either.
Turn your phone on.
You must be calling people much younger than me.
No, older.
And the other thing is, are you using Gmail?
Yeah.
And you're trying to delete voicemail.
Well, I use Gmail
it's voicemail that he's working with. Voicemail from his phone.
Okay.
Yeah, and in my experience with Android devices, I think there'll be a little blurb in that manual about voicemail, but really the voicemail
in the manual, right?
Yeah, it'll say something like press 1 and hold to get to your voicemail. Yeah. Because Android so far has not provided a voicemail system, so it's always dependent on your carrier.
I've matched the one, and I've put in Star 368.
Your voicemail goes through Verizon.
So you're he looking for a Verizon app to check his voicemail, or is it still press and hold 1 and set it up?
It's crazy.
Enlighten us, Gary.
If I were you, I wouldn't worry about it.
Really?
Just leave it alone.
Stick with email, saying.
They call you, you can answer. You're not there, that's the way it goes. You know, for years you got away without one of these things anyway, right?
I think your advice is sound.
Why should you be worried about voicemail? Most people aren't anymore.
I mean, everything comes up and tells you miss a call. You know you heard it ringing.
So speaking of phones.
Oh, I was in the bathroom.
My husband just called me and he said, "Did you call me?" And I said, "No." He says, "Well, I have two calls from Nick Franks to Nick Franks."
Yeah.
Wow. So somebody's cloned his number and calling him.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there is always the possibility that you've inadvertently added somebody's phone number to your contact.
And the name is Nick Franks.
Right. Yeah, because your phone pulls up from your address book.
I'll have to check that.
The ID. Either you get a random number or you get somebody's name. The name gets pulled from your address book.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that probably what's happened is that somebody else's number has ended up. In fact, that's a pretty classic hack that people would do to each other to screw with them. you grab somebody's phone and you replace the contact of whoever their significant other or somebody with your phone number, and then you send text messages back and forth screwing with them because they don't realize that they're talking to somebody else.
Is that ghosting?
No, ghosting is when you have been texting with somebody and all of a sudden they disappear. And you don't hear from them again. That's ghosting.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you're carrying on conversation like your friends, or you're going to be dating, or you're going, and then all of a sudden, nothing, gone. Worse, maybe blocked. You don't know what's going on. Can't get a hold of them on any social media.
I had a rule yesterday. If you're 25, you cannot call unless you text first and ask if you can call.
There you go. I'm okay with that. You can call me as often as you want. Just be ready for me not to answer the phone because I focus on the stuff in front of me. So leave a message. I'll get back to you.
Oh, voicemail. Leave a voicemail.
Yeah, leave a voicemail. Hey, I've figured out my voicemail. Or you can text me. So I brought a couple other topics here I thought people would find interesting. We talked a little bit about the folding phones. I wouldn't waste any time with them right now. They're impressive, but nobody's buying those. Nobody at this table is going to be buying these, not for a while. But they are impressive to look at. They're folding screens. They've got phones that are from the inside, it folds out into a tablet size. There's another phone that folds from the outside. The outside, everything you grab, everything you touch is screen. Wow. And then you can fold it apart.
That's great for carrying in your pocket.
Right, with your keys and handing to grandchildren to run around with and watch YouTube videos. No, none of that's actually going to happen anytime soon. But they're very impressive to look at. But I did want to mention something that I found very interesting. And I'm not quite sure how to get into the topic. I could say that China has had an insane influence on Steam, which is a American, I think it's a corporation, that provides video games as a service. And the reason I find this interesting is because there's a new game that was released that had gotten very good popularity, had good reviews, everybody was getting into it, and then some Chinese players came across some stuff that seemed anti-Chinese. And very specifically, they found a poster of propaganda in the game that had a picture of the Chinese president right next to a picture of Winnie the Pooh, with the words underneath it saying moron.
Really?
Yeah. And so what's impressive about this is completely blown up. The company that brought forth this game, what's its name? I've got it here. Red Candle Games. Has come out with a statement saying this was an accident. I mean, they're not even the ones that make this game. They have hired developers to make this game so they can release it. The game developers have said that we were using... what they do is when they make a game like this, they have placeholders. And so their excuse is, we had somebody working on art, we hadn't certified the art, we were just using it as placeholders, and it accidentally got into the game. During the time period that this is going on, more and more Chinese have gotten into this game, and they have decided that the whole game is a backstory condemning the political system in China and poking fun at their president. And this has gone from this incredibly popular game on the Steam platform to being, they've called it review bombing, where they have an organized effort, concerted effort, to do negative reviews of this game on that platform to push it down, and draw attention to what this game is doing. It's trying to be a political message. It's condemning our president.
Is anyone trying to turn it into a late night TV show?
Yeah. Well, here's the part that I think we could all grab hold of, is Steam took down the game. Completely influenced by this Chinese there's a product that people enjoyed, and it has been taken out of the marketplace because of this opinion from China and this organized attempt at ruining this company has succeeded. Red Candle has had their Chinese website taken down. They have had to disassociate themselves with the producers of the game. They basically firing them. they have had to pay a ridiculous amount of money to the publishers because they had to fire them because it was a breach of contract. So they're having to pay these developers a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, who knows if Red Candle Games will actually still be around in the future because of this. Yeah, maybe. All of this is because of this tension. Actually, the game was made in Taiwan. And there's an argument that may be true, that this is under an underpinning of political dissidence that defines that tension between Taiwan and mainland China. And Red Candle Games wasn't doing a good enough job paying attention, policing that space that for problems like this.
Why didn't they just pull that game immediately once they heard about this?
Well,
and then maybe even pull that section out of it or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what they've done. I think this has happened very quickly. This has just happened in the last few days. I think that it was discovered last week. And so all this has just come down. But what's impressive to me, and I think that should be impressive to you guys, is that this is a Chinese political position that has caused damage to this marketplace successfully, caused damage to this marketplace and to this particular game vendor.
Scott, what other subjects do you have?
I know you're not a gamer. This isn't about gaming. It's about Google censoring itself so that it can be in the Chinese market.
I see parallels elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see in some instances doing something like that.
Yeah.
I see the actors and actresses that spoke out against the star of Roma as being Indio and not a talented actress. Yeah. That probably cost her the movie, the Oscar. I see Green Book getting attacked for not being, being a hokey 1960s story, when in fact it took place in 1960s. So I don't know. But I think those are all kind of along the same.
Along the same thing. A lot of social justice warrioring going on.
Yeah,
and it's funny how many things that we're tolerant of because it fits within our norm, our paradigm of how our politics and our culture work. Yeah. Well, here it is coming from absolutely the other side of things and very successfully
totally
pulling
different.
It out.
Totally
shutting it down. Well, I thought you guys would find that interesting. Mm-hmm. I got another one that I thought you guys would find interesting.
maybe the word more.
It's not about gaming, Bob. It's not a gaming topic.
He has a rotary phone question for
you. Okay.
And it's not Bitcoin, right?
Right.
So another thing that I found that was very interesting this week is that Google has been, they have Google Home. They have the smart speaker. They're trying to make smart homes out of their devices. They have the assistant that they're starting to integrate into their products. You can find the assistant in your phone, but you can also find them in these smart speakers. So they decided to flip on – oh, and they own Nest. They own Nest, the home thermostat. Well, Nest has branched off into security cameras last year, almost 2 years
Google
ago.
Google owns Nest?
Google owns Nest, yeah. Or I should say ABC owns Nest, because it's all under ABC now.
Yeah.
Or Alphabet. I called it ABC. It's Alphabet is the name of the company. So Nest security camera that's been out for almost 2 years, a year and a half, Google announced a new feature. It's bringing Google Assistant, Google Voice Assistant, to the security camera. Everybody that owns this camera just about choked on their tongue. They had no idea there was a microphone in their camera.
Right.
It was Google's way of making it clear, you bought a product a year and a half ago that we didn't disclose is listening to you.
Oh, it was a mistake.
It was a mistake as far as Google was concerned. They say that the microphone was added just so that features could be brought to it later, but it was never mentioned in any product documentation.
That's like the new camera, the speakers or TV monitors in the planes I just saw this week. that are supposedly used for video conferencing while you're on the plane.
What is this? I haven't heard this.
Yeah, they just, I forget which airline, but they installed these. At every seat, there's a monitor to watch. The monitor that you watch your movie on can also
watch you.
Be spoken to and can hear you.
Well, that makes facial recognition for terrorists a lot easier, doesn't it?
I thought it was the ones in the back of the seat.
Yeah. Now I think you're talking about the same thing. Yeah.
Because that's for the person sitting behind you.
No, I mean, that's amazing that they would do that. Because it's very convenient. You could pull up a monitor and visually check everyone on the plane.
Yeah.
Right. Make sure they match their profiles. Make sure their tickets all match. That's. Yeah. What a world we're living in. Jeez.
So when's somebody gonna hack these home security things? To turn off your cameras, turn your heat up to 200.
I think that stuff's already happening. But hacking for listening, I think that's happening right now too. I think what Google did is they put a device in your house and didn't warn you that it may be used for listening, either for good functions or, I mean, they should have had it on the product documentation, and this is a horrible precedence to set. I mean, do we have to now be suspicious of every product we're bringing into our house?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Samsung TVs. There was people saying, hey, there's cameras in the lip of these TVs, and people were like, no, they wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, they did. They put camera. Oh, it's for features, but you didn't explain that it could be used as a camera.
But that's exactly what you have here and there.
Did you not know that was a camera? When you showed up, did you not know that was a camera? Because I'm really sorry if I didn't make it clear. I think it's fairly clear these are cameras. Nobody knew their security camera was also listening to them. I think that's a bad precedence to set. We should all be vigilant in looking at these kind of products.
In Alberta, in a couple of the shopping malls, you know, those kiosks that have the video advertising on them when you walk by them, they started putting cameras in them, and they were using that for information to keep track of who was shopping in the mall. Somebody figured it out, and they made them take them out. It was a big campaign that said, no, we don't really need recognition in here.
Yeah.
But they were in the, you'd stop and look, and they were gathering information.
Sure.
About you.
You know, if you've gotten a speeding ticket in the last 10 years, or a running the red light ticket, in the last 10 years, they will send you a photo of you running the red light.
Yeah.
Well,
they stopped it in California.
We're just this close to them sending it to whoever was driving the car because of facial recognition.
Right.
They could see, oh, well, that wasn't you. That's your brother you loaned your car to.
Yeah. Is that in Guaymas?
No.
only in San Carlos. Those ones with the blue and red lights, those posts, that's what they are.
What's bad is when they send a picture of you and your girlfriend to your wife.
Already happened.
I don't know how you lived that down, Paul.
Remember I was telling you about these people that are just waiting for the Indian computer experts to help them on their... The one I saw yesterday was they sent the guy's picture back to him. So
okay.
He looks at his screen and there he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Looking at... It's like a mirror. So... They're one upping them on technology.
That's wild. We've got your photo. Stop calling people. Well, very cool. We are we haven't run over at all. We're right at our end time. I do have some other topics here. Probably one offs. Micro SD cards. Linda mentioned it earlier, but I'll mention it again. They just two different manufacturers have released 1 terabyte cards.
Wow.
So you can put this little tiny card, 1 terabyte in your phone, But what I imagine is going to happen is they're going to be stuck into these smartwatches. So you're going to have 1 terabyte of space on your wrist. It's music, phone calls, everything happening right there. What was that, Paul?
Oh, it's just, I mean, with my phone, I don't have room for apps anymore because apparently I invested in a phone that doesn't have enough memory. With a terabyte, what all would you want to put on your phone?
Full
you could have
HD
a jillion photographs.
HD movies.
The big thing, yeah, is recording in 4K.
I don't have any music on my phone.
These high-end cell phones like Samsung's putting out, you can put a terabyte card in there, and you can take full 4K video, and soon you'll see 8K videos coming out as well. And that requires a ridiculous amount of space, and so that terabyte makes a lot of sense.
It's an old thing. No matter how much memory you put into computers, you'll always fill it up. You're always going to fill it up.
That's the size of your house.
That's a human condition.
Yes,
it really is. I am a terrible data hoarder. Every time I start to run out of space, the market puts out twice as much space in the same package, and I'm able to just move everything over to that and keep moving forward.
It's called hoarding.
Yeah, it's absolutely data hoarding. I am a horrible example of it.
How often do you ever look for something that you've hoarded?
Well, that's true. But you take pictures. You take 100 pictures at an event.
Music is inconsequential now with the amount of space that we have. It's really videos that take up the most space. Videos and video games.
Always.
Things like that. Things of high content.
Yeah, when it was $1 a click on your camera.
Yeah, then you thought.
Then you thought a lot more about taking pictures.
I always tell my kids, you know, we used to buy a 12 picture roll of Kodak film, and it would last all year. You only took pictures of when the relatives were there, and you would have one picture.
Yeah.
And you waited another 6 months to see it.
The thing I used to laugh about is when you'd watch these TV shows about a sporting event, a football game, and all these people with flash cubes.
Flashes.
Flash. And I thought, well, Silvani is just rubbing their hands.
Yeah, right?
People putting a flash
every
cube
flash
on the camera
cube,
for a football game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can end now.
I think it's voting.
Yeah, I think you're voting with your butts. That's what you're doing.
No, this is voting with your butts. That's voting with your feet.
Your feet, you're right. Was there anything, Bob? Did we hit all your topics?
And then some.
We haven't even come.
Good. Okay.
Bob has not yet this year asked about the Michaelis. I don't understand. He always asks at least one question about the Michaelis.
The Maquiladores.
Whatever.
Yeah. So Bill's waiting for a Maquila question. It doesn't matter. I don't have an answer for it.
Well, you never do.
Are they being successful? You're working with them. Are they being is NAFTA going to change anything? I'm sure it will.
You know, I have not been involved with the Macula since this New Deal, and so I'm not certain what kind of effects it's going to have. Personally, what I've paid attention to with the New Deal is it's the same as the old deal.
With a couple little tweaks.
I don't expect anything to change with the way they're doing business.
I see one change. In Canada, we now see American milk on the shelves.
Oh, that's it.
The dairy guys got their way finally, and they finally got an in into the Canadian milk industry.
Wow.
But you will see American cartons of milk.
That's interesting.
They got to be 1 liters.
They have to be 1 liter?
Yeah, they can't be quarts.
Oh, they can't be quarts.
Of course not. I read a little bit about it. It turns out
French.
The dairy farmers in Canada are not happy, but the consumers are happy.
Yes, absolutely.
The only thing I can determine that was the change in the two agreements was the other one was 20 years old, so it had nothing to do with the internet.
Right.
Yeah. And I would love to hear what's in this new package with the internet, but nothing comes out.
Well, Mike, if it helps, I've paid attention to it. Nobody said anything about the internet.
No.
You'd think that would make a lot of sense.
I have read that they did a lot of work on applying this whole thing to the internet, but I haven't seen a thing of it in print.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's related to intellectual property more than anything else. Not technology, but like controlling
music,
copyright.
Music and stuff like that.
Yeah, who's going to enforce what, and when it gets enforced, things of that nature.
When it comes to intellectual property, I see that as just really hard to control.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Especially now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to control
people,
goods.
People our age, where they were,
so
you know, you
really
see
hard
parties dealing
yeah.
intellectual property. Because it was 20 years before American music could come down here.
Yeah.
But now it's 20 minutes before American music could come down here.
Maybe it's 2 minutes. it takes nothing to download music. Yeah, I think that the industry in general, they've focused on making things more available, easier to get at. It's the right direction. It's not suing people and threatening them, but it's creating services that people are willing to pay for because it's easier than trying to find their own copies of stuff.
But in terms of the new agreement versus the old agreement, I don't think there's a lot in there.
Yeah,
no.
And the intellectual property rights that I imagine, what they're doing is they're protecting large organizations from doing something like Televisa taking Disney content
right.
and distributing it, holding Prodigy or the internet company, and I'm speculating. These are the kinds of things I imagine would be in an agreement. Holding Prodigy Telmex responsible for services like Claro Video. And the content that they have available, when it's available, and how people get access to it.
And each one of these governments, the Mexico, the United States, and Canada, they all have to confirm it by their governments, and not one of the three has actually confirmed it.
Oh, their congresses haven't ratified it.
No,
yeah.
none of the three.
Yeah, so the only thing we've got in place right now is still NAFTA.
Basically, that's the bottom line of
yeah.
that.
The bottom line is Congress doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they came to our club, they would.
What else is he?
That's a great promo. Thank you, Bob.
What was the comment?
He said Congress doesn't know what they're doing. If they came to our club, they would.
Yeah. All right.
Well, on that note, I'm going to shut this down. As you can see from the video, we've got people funneling out. This has been a successful day with no problems with our technology. We've had a really good stream going. But this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish here at Tequila's in San Carlos. If you find yourself in San Carlos, stop by Tequila's. They got great Wi-Fi. They got a fast high-speed fiber optic connection. They do great table service. We're lucky to have this as a resource that we can take advantage of. So we love Tequila's. If you have a computer issue or need some help anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me at International Computer Solutions. You can find us on the web at internationalcs.net. You can contact me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you find the Computer Club, if you're interested in these recordings or podcasts, we do all this for posterity. You can get a link to it at sccclub.org. I guess that's it. Everybody, keep calm and tech on. I'll talk to you next week. Done. Thank you. Thank you very much.